أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين. روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمهم فداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
For your own health, recite the second one louder, please.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعجل فرجه. The third one, inshallah, so I can have the energy to talk here.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل
فرجه. We thought that this holy month of Ramadan is a good chance for one to engage in spirituality. This is a month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared, especially one month during the year, for us to focus a little bit more on this aspect of us. Throughout the year, we get used to focusing on the materialistic side of us, working, making money, spending that. We're in a routine. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala breaks that routine. Month of Ramadan, don't eat. All the ahadith that you've probably heard about the importance of doing extra in this holy month. So, we started talking about spirituality. We talked about the importance of it. We want to talk about how to do it now. What is spirituality? What are we supposed to engage in if we want to move on this path? These days in the world that is filled with materialism, especially in the West, there's a lot of people that are fed up with materialism. They want a way out. Muslims, non-Muslims, there's a lot of people. So this thirst for spirituality, to quench this thirst though, there's others that are taking advantage of this. There's a lot of people that are taking advantage of this thirst for spirituality. They're presenting views and paths of spirituality that are false. They don't lead to what people are looking for. But because there's this thirst, and spirituality is something that is vague, you're talking about something that is not seen, it's not tangible, it's very easy for people to accept what is given to them. Similar to the discussions of the coming of the 12th Imam. Some people just like talking about that. It's good to talk about it, there's no question about that. But it's something in the future that you and I cannot see. We don't know when it's going to happen. This thirst to know causes some people to want to take advantage of that. They start making up stories. Yeah, it's going to be like that and like this. It's important for us to know, before getting into the details and talking about some of the practices, that we know what is the path. Okay. What is defined as the path of spirituality, so we know if we go off track to check with that. Are we on the path or are we not? This path of spirituality is nothing more than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mandated upon us, that every day we've got to ask that He guides us to it in our prayers, at least twice in each prayer. That makes it 10 times. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Hamd says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Every day of our lives, we're supposed to say this 10 times, at least. That is the path. The path of spirituality is Sirat al-Mustaqim. Okay, what is Sirat al-Mustaqim? That doesn't solve the question. Just change the wording of it. There's a lot of different ways to put this and what exactly the Sirat al-Mustaqim is. One of the ways that, inshallah, I'll try to use this one to explain what the Sirat al-Mustaqim is that there's a number of ahadith that when it refers to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, it says that Amir al-Mu'mineen Salamullah alayhi Sirat al-Mustaqim. Sirat al-Mustaqim is Amir al-Mu'mineen. There's a lot of other verses as well that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in His Holy Quran. And the Holy Prophet and the Imams have explained that this is talking about Amir al-Mu'mineen. One of them is this. Sirat al-Mustaqim, according to some hadith, is Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullah wa salamu alayhi. If we want to get on that path, we would have to do what? We'd have to become the Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamu alayhi. Isn't that what we are? Shi'atu Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah alayhi. That's what we are. We call ourselves Shi'a. But unfortunately these days, the word Shi'a has become an ethnicity. It's not a path of guidance. It's just an identity you have. Are you Shia or are you Sunni? Doesn't make a difference what you do. What are you considered? Are you Shia or not? But if we want to see what that path is, we'd have to see what this Shia is. I want to present one hadith in this regard. The companions that we have of our imams that narrate the hadith that we have from them are not all the same. Some of the companions are closer to the imams. Like at the Prophet's time, if we want to say, the closest companion of the Prophet is who? Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. After that, there's Salman, there's Abu Dhar, there's Miqdad. These are the close companions. These are Ashab al-Sir, okay? They know the secrets. Each of the imams had some of these, of course. Those companions are not the same ranking either. In other words, it's not like every imam had the highest ranking of the companions at his time, but there were different rankings. One of the individuals that we have that narrates hadith from Imam al-Baqir, salamullah alayhi, is someone by the name of Jabir al-Ju'fi. Jabir al-Ju'fi he knows the secrets. Okay, some of these secrets are so important and so difficult to understand and to comprehend that the Shia accused some of these companions of ghulu. They said that these people are not on the right path. They're raising the status of the imams. Now, we did have companions that were like that. We did have companions that raised the status of the imams beyond what they were. We had people at the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, that said Amir al-Mu'mineen is God. And Imam Ali fought them and killed some of them actually. It's interesting. We did have those companions, but we had others that were actually not ghali. They weren't exaggerating about the imams, but the secrets that they knew when they would express it, those that had less of an understanding would say, no, 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 what you're saying is... One of those individuals is Ja'bir al-Ju'fi, and he is actually accused of that. But he's a reliable person. He says, عن أبي جعفر عليه الصلاة والسلام, Imam al-Baqir, قال, قال لي, said the Imam told me, يا جابر, أَيَكْتَفِي مَنْ يَنْتَحِلَ التَّشَيُّعْ أَنْ يَقُولَ بِحُبِّنَا أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ. He asks him a question, Jabir, if a person wants to become Shia, is it enough that they have the love of the Ahlul Bayt with them? Inshallah, we all have the love of the Ahlul Bayt. That's a jewel to keep. That's very important. But the question here is that ayaktafi, is it enough? We're talking about Shia, the follower of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi. So he says, is it enough that أَنْ يَقُولَ بِحُبِّنَا أَهْلِ الْبَيْتِ? You love the Ahlul Bayt? He says, فَوَاللَّهِ مَا شِيعَتُنَا إِلَّا مَنِ اتَّقَى اللَّهُ وَأَطَاعَهُ. The Shia, if you want the definition of Shia, it is not the hub. Hub, that's muhib. Shia is not except for those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are pious. وَمَا كَانُوا. Let's listen to this description, brothers and sisters. As I said, it's very important that we understand what this Shia is. Okay, it's not easy for ourselves, for us to call one another, or call ourselves and consider ourselves Shia. That's very easily done. There's a lot of stories in the hadith books about people at the times of the Imam, that they would go to the Imams as Shia, the Imams would reject them. What are you talking about? Shia? You're not Shia. You're not the follower. You're muhib, maximum. And it's because of the lack of these, if we're talking about the preparation for the coming of the Imam, it's because of the lack of these, the true Shia, the true followers of the Imams, that is being postponed. Shia is not to just sit around and talk about the manaqib, what great the Ahlul Bayt did, talk about Khaybar and what Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi did in the Battle of Khaybar. Obviously, Dharbatu Aliyyan Yawm al-Khandaq, the other battle, أفضل من عبادة الثقلين. That's a fact. What Amir al-Mu'mineen there did with that intention is so great that it's beyond the worships of all of mankind and all of jinn together. That's a fact, but that's not enough. That's not enough. That's hub, that increases our hub, that's great, but that's not enough. Imam al-Baqir here says, وَمَا كَانُوا يُعْرَفُونَ يَا جَابِرْ إِلَّا بِالتَّوَاضُعُ. First trait, he says, at-tawadhu. How many of us do have tawadhu? We're humble. Humility. Wat-takhashu, they have khushu'. When they pray, they have that khushu' in their heart. They're moved. Wal-amana, they're trustworthy. How many of us are trustworthy? Are the Muslims known and the Shia known more for being trustworthy? Or the non-Muslims? وَكَثْرَةِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. كَثْرَةِ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. I think we have كَثْرَةِ ذِكْرِ الدُّنْيَا amongst us. A lot of the dunya, we talk about what the prices of houses are, where you bought this from, where you bought that piece of clothing from, or when I'm going to buy my iPhone, or where I'm going to buy this, or when I'm going to buy that. That's all that's working in our minds. وَالصَّوْمْ وَالصَّلَاةِ كَثْرَةً. Okay, they do sawm a lot. Not just the month of Ramadan, this is the wajib amount, but they do more than that. وَالصَّلَاةِ, prayers, they're known for that. Who's known for praying at the beginning of time? Is it the Shia? Reminded me of another hadith by Imam Kadhim, salamullah alayhi, that he said, you guys, or Imam al-Sadiq, salamullah alayhi, actually, he said that you need to act in a way that people would be identifying you with your morals and the good that you do, and say, هَذَا جَعْفَرِيٌّ, by the way you hold yourself and the way you act, they should be able to say, oh, هَذَا جَعْفَرِيٌّ. The Ja'faris are known, the Shia are known to be so good that when you see a good person, you say, oh, he must be Ja'fari, let's ask him and see if he's Ja'fari or not. That's the way it's supposed to be. Not that Shia, oh, they say we start at 7, we start at 7:15. وَالْبِرْ بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ بِرْ بِالْوَالِدَيْنِ, doing good to the parents. Acting good towards the parents, not disrespecting them. Inshallah, in the following nights, we'll try to expand on this a bit, but just for now, the brief explanation of this. We should not be disrespecting our parents, brothers and sisters. That's not what the Shia does. The parents that have raised us, taken care of us, our mothers that have taken care of us before we were born, and they went through all of that difficulties. When you get married, you'll see what the difficulties are. Go through all that difficulty so that you become what you are. And then we turn back and disrespect them. Not give them, not only disrespecting is bad, I'm saying that it says bir bil walidain. You have disrespect that is bad. Then you have acting normal. Then you have being good to them. What this is saying is bir bil walidain, doing good, being specially nice to them. Not just being okay, the same way that I treat my, or even less than the way I treat my friend, and how I like my friend, and how respectful I speak to them, I just ignore my parents. Or the maximum is, I treat them the same way. No, extra respect. وَالتَّعَاهُدْ لِلْجِيرَانِ مِنَ الْفُقَرَاءِ وَأَهْلِ الْمَسْكَنَةِ. When you see a beggar, the Shia, what do? We say, oh, don't give him money. When there's someone poor, we're not willing to help. We're thinking of our own. We'll find 1,001 explanations why we don't want to help this person. But the definition of Shia is not that. Ta'ahud lil-jiran, the neighbors that are poor. If you have any neighbors that you know, they're poor. By the way, the jiran that is being talked about here, okay, this is a side point that I would like to use here. This hadith is said at the time of Imam al-Baqir, salamullah alayhi. Do you know what the number of Shias at that time was? The so-called Shias, not even the true Shias, the so-called Shias. They were very small in number. The majority of the society, the community at that time were Sunnis. The Imam is saying, ta'ahud al-jiran, doesn't make a difference. If you have a neighbor, okay, even if they're not Muslim, this is what the Prophet of Allah subhanahu of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Ahlul Bayt taught us. The morals of Islam are not only for the Muslims, treating them well, if they need help, helping them out. تعاهد للجيران من الفقراء وأهل المسكنة والغارمين. People that have debts, we're not even willing to lend anyone money. We have money sitting in our bank account, but we're not willing to give it to anybody to help them out. Maybe they're not going to pay us back. We have fear of that. That's not the way the Ahlul Bayt are teaching us. Wal aitam, orphans. Do we even know that we do have orphans? in the West even, there are Muslim, the Shia orphans that are going to non-Muslim orphanages and becoming non-Muslim. They're being raised non-Muslim. Why? Because the Muslims do not care. The Shias are not caring about them. وَصِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ, this one just forget about it. صِدْقِ الْحَدِيثِ, being truthful, not lying. Not lying in business. Not lying in our personal lives. Not lying to our family members. Not lying. There's a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullah alayhi, that says, you won't taste the flavor of faith and iman unless you stop lying, even as a joke. We pull these pranks on people, and we lie to them for them to think of something, and later on, maybe 2-3 days later, they realize it. Oh, that was just a joke. This is being said by Amin. Sidq al-Hadith, wa tilawat al-Qur'an, this is the month for that. Recitation of the Holy Qur'an. There's hadith that says, the Shia recite at least 50 verses a day. At least 50 verses a day. When you read the hadith that talk about khatm of the Qur'an, reciting the entire Qur'an, it's shocking actually. There's one hadith, the companion is asking the Imam this way. He says, is it okay if I read the entire Qur'an in 7 days? We don't read an entire year. Imam says 7 days is okay. 6 days is okay. But 3 days, no. Don't read the entire Qur'an in 3 days. That's too, well, I won't say it's too quick. He says don't do that, except for the month of Ramadan. 3 days, 30 days, you can recite the Qur'an 10 times if you do that. Now, most of us probably won't have the time to do that. But do we even know how to recite the Qur'an? It's important that we recite the Arabic of the Qur'an, brothers and sisters. At Arabic, even if we don't understand it. Even if we don't understand a word of it. It's important to read the Arabic. Read the translation too. Understand it. But it's important to learn how to read the Arabic. There's a nice hadith, interesting hadith. It says, those who can't pronounce the words properly, recite it the way you can, the angels will take it up in the most perfect form. It's important that we read the Arabic. وَكَفِّ الْأَلْسُنْ عَنِ النَّاسِ إِلَّا مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Don't say to people except for good. This too, foul language, we picked it up very quickly here. I mean, it's part of, I don't know what you call them, you have public schools in America, it's very easy to pick up the foul language. And unfortunately, we've picked it up very, very quickly. It's one of the first things we learn are the foul words, the four-letter words. That's not the Shia though. It doesn't make a difference. You're talking about the Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi hadith that he says, Mu'min does not do sab, does not curse, does not use foul language, not curse in the sense of la'an, does not use foul language even against the enemies of Allah even. You can't use foul language for anybody. That's wrong, that's bad. وَكَانُوا أُمَنَاءُ عَشَائِرِهِمْ فِي الْأَشْيَاءِ. They should be known to be the trustworthy ones. If I want to find someone that I want to leave a trust with, I should be looking, oh, is there a Shia around to give it to him? أُمَنَاءُ عَشَائِرِهِمْ. It's interesting, again, that same point that I mentioned. The Ashair, the tribes at that time, majority of them were Sunni. You didn't have an entire tribe that the entirety of it was Shia. They're Sunni. There's only one or two people of them, or a few people of them, that are Shia. It says, in that Ashira, in that tribe, they are known for being the trustworthy ones. This description came to him. Jabir says something that I think all of us are thinking. قَالَ جَابِرْ قُلْتُ يَبْنَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ مَا نَعْرِفُ الْيَوْمْ أَحَدًا بِهَذِهِ الصِّفَةِ. Says, O son of the Prophet, we don't know even one individual that has these characteristics that you are defining. فقال يا جابر. The Imam turns back to him and says again, يا جابر لا تذهبن بك المذاهب. Don't let the different views fall. Then he asks, حسب الرجل أن يقول أحب عليا وأتولاه ثم لا يكون مع ذلك فعالا. Is it enough? Does it suffice for a person to say that I love Ali? Then he doesn't act according to that love. فلو قال إني أحب رسول الله فرسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله خير من علي عليه السلام ثم لا يتبع سيرته ولا يعمل بسنته ما نفعه حبه إياه شيئا. Imam says, if he would have said that I love the Prophet, and the Prophet is khayrun min Ali, obviously, according to the Shia, we don't believe that Ali was supposed to be the Prophet and Jibra'il made a mistake. The Prophet is above Amirul Mu'minin salamu alayhi. So if he would have said, I love the Prophet, but you didn't follow the Sunnah of the Prophet, he says that love of the Prophet without following the Sunnah of the Prophet will not have any good for him. This is not me, okay? This is this hadith. I'm not just trying to encourage you with my words. This is what the hadith is saying. It says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَاعْمَلُوا لِمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Be pious and do and act for what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared. لَيْسَ بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَبَيْنَ أَحَدٍ قِرَابًا. There's no blood relationship between God and anybody. It's not like, oh, he's my cousin, I'll save him, I won't burn him. There's no such a thing. أَحَبُّ الْعِبَادِ إِلَى اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُّ وَأَكْرَمَهُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَتْقَاهُمْ وَأَعْمَلُهُمْ بِطَاعَتِهِ. The most beloved of the servants of Allah is the one that is more pious. أَعْمَلُهُمْ بِطَاعَتِهِ. The one that practices the ta'ah, the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most. Then he says, Ya Jabir, wallah, ma yutaqarrabu ila Allahi tabaraka wa ta'ala illa bitta'ah. You can't get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala except through ta'ah. This following the Ahlul Bayt gives us that path, that siratul mustaqim is ta'atullah, obedience to Allah. وَمَا مَعْنَا بَرَاءَةٌ مِّنَ النَّارِ. With us, if you don't have the ta'ah, obedience of Allah, you're not going to be escaping fire. That's not going to happen. وَلَا عَلَى اللَّهِ لِأَحَدٍ مِّنْ حُجَّةٍ. This is the scariest part of the hadith. مَنْ كَانَ لِلَّهِ مُطِيعًا فَهُوَ لَنَا وَلِيٌّ. If you want to be considered the Shia and not the enemies of the Ahlul Bayt, listen to this. He says, whoever is muti'a and obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is our wali. In other words, he's our follower. He's with us. But وَمَنْ كَانَ لِلَّهِ عَاصِيًا فَهُوَ لَنَا عَدُوٌ. If we disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are the enemy of the Ahlul Bayt. That's what this hadith is saying, not me. وَمَا تُنَالُ وِلَايَتُنَا إِلَّا بِالْعَمَلِ وَالْوَرَاءِ. The only way to be the follower of Amir al-Mu'minin salamullah alayhi is obedience to Allah. That is Sirat al-Mustaqeen. When you say Amir al-Mu'minin is Sirat al-Mustaqeen, means follow him. That's your lead. That's your role model. That's your example. He was the most obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without any question, he did what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. When he had to sleep in the bed of the Prophet, without any fear, without any question, without any doubt, he went and did it. Whether they're going to kill him or not, he didn't care. When the time came to be silent for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although he had the responsibility and he had the right to rule, his wife had the right of fadak that was taken, but when it was for Allah to be silent, he didn't have any trouble. Many of the companions came to the Imam, like, why are you silent? No one was a match for Amir al-Mu'mineen either. You know that, right? If he would have taken his Dhul-Fiqar out, no one would have been a match for Amir al-Mu'mineen. None of them. But that wasn't right. Without any doubt or any question or any feeling against that, he was silent, very comfortable. Obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the general path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we want to move towards spirituality, it's not about what I make up. There's a lot of made up spiritualities in the world right now. That's not spirituality. Spirituality is getting close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The only way to do that is ta'ah, worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What is the obedience? Brothers and sisters, I would like to mention this. Maybe some of you have heard this from me before, but I think it won't hurt to remind that when we talk about spirituality, some people think that what we know of the religion is not going to get us, make us spiritual. If you want to, in spirituality, by this unclear and vague picture that is painted, is being able to read minds, being able to be in two places at the same time. Talking about Ayatollah Bahjat, that when I went to him, he told me what I had in my mind without even saying it. Well, all those come along, but that's not the definition of spirituality. To get there, some people give all kinds of different practices and different methods. But what the reason why we look for that is that what we have with us, what we know of the religion, like this is not going to get us there. But the ahadith, the line that they draw for us, if you want to reach those statuses, it is only through obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obedience of Allah. What is this obedience? Obedience of Allah, if we want to word it a little differently so we can understand it and talk about it more, to expand on it, is prioritizing our lives based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Based on the teachings that He has given us. Prioritizing our lives. We're living in this world, we get stuck and caught up with maintaining the life in this world, the physical life. We have two priorities. This is when it comes to goals, prioritizing in our goals. One goal is achieving things in this life. You want to go to college or university, you get a degree, you work, you earn money. Which is something we have to do. But with the priority, and everything in our planning, in our mind, is about this world. The goal that we have set only deals with this world. That's the focus that we have. That's not divine. That's not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Although we do need to, don't misunderstand me. We're not saying here that people are not supposed to study, or they're not supposed to work, or they're not supposed to earn. That's not what it is. Religiously, Islamically, we're supposed to do that. But it's about drawing the goals. What is the goal? Don't miss the goal. Don't miss the priority. According to Islam, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, the priority is the hereafter. When there's a conflict of interest, not at all times, when there's a conflict of interest, that I either take this world and I give up the hereafter, or I take the hereafter and I leave what I'm going to get in this world, that's when I have to choose the hereafter. And the main goal, what I'm picturing, is not the life in this world, it's the life in the hereafter. Prioritizing the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. In those goals, it's very important, brothers and sisters. If you get the wrong goal as the goal in your life, okay. One of the names of Yawm al-Qiyamah is Yawm al-Hasra. The day of regret. I could have done so much more. Time is up. If I had just prioritized the right way at the right time, I would have been able to do much more. The goal is very important. Don't miss that goal. Again, see, that does not mean that anybody is being told, don't earn in this life. Don't earn money, don't work. No. But if the goal is right, that working, the studying that you do, the working that you do, and the earning is actually going to be jihad fi sabilillah, and that is actually going to be part of the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But that's only if you get the goal right. If that is your intention. If we have that intention, that's a fact. Working to earn for the family is jihad fi sabilillah. If a person is going to work with that intention, to earn for the family for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith says if he gets killed, he's shaheed fi sabilillah. So one priority, one type of prioritizing is in the field of the goals that we have. It's important that we get it right. The other thing is in our practices. We need to prioritize what we do based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, not otherwise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us a complete system, a perfect system of how to govern our lives. The more you learn about it, the more you study it, the deeper you get. Unlike some systems, see, in some systems, when you first see the picture, the blueprint of the system that they're presenting you, how to govern an individual or a country or whatever it is, it may sound very nice. But then when you get into the details and you start splitting hair and you start practicing and you start realizing there's a lot of flaws in this. Democracy, it sounds really nice. Okay. But what type of democracy? When you start getting into it, then you start seeing a lot of flaws in that. But Islam, this system that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, is so perfect, the more you learn about it, the more you dig into it, the more you see how perfect the system is. It takes care of how to govern your personal life in the best way possible. The problem that we have, you and I have, usually, is because we don't learn this correctly. We learn it the wrong way. How to govern our personal life, our relationship with others in the family, with the brothers, sisters, husband, wife, parents, uncles, cousins, all of that relationship. How to make it the best relationship possible, where you have a connection, where you don't, all of that's been mentioned. The social activities, how we govern the social lives, how we govern countries, all of that has been mentioned in our religion. It's about us learning it in the right way. And I want to emphasize that point a little bit. When we start to learn about Islam, one thing that happens is that many of us just listen to whatever we hear about what Islam says. How do I pray? I just, you know, whatever I hear, I just go practice that. A lot of the things that you hear, brothers and sisters, are not accurate. They're not right. You need to learn the religion from the sources. Where do I learn my religion from? The practical aspect of it. The first step of it, okay, is the risala of my marja. I can't go and learn the ahkam and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told me to do and not to do myself. So what do? I go to the expert, that's the marja. I gotta read his book. It was interesting, one of the teachers of spirituality in Irfan, in the Hawza, I remember a number of times he was asked, "What is? Can you suggest to us, can you give us a book to read on spirituality? What's the best book to read?" I would say, "It's the Risala of your marja." That tells you what to do and what not to do. That's your responsibility. Obedience, that's what your responsibility is. You got to refer to that. But a lot of things that you hear are not that. I'm dealing with it 24/7. What is halal and what is not halal? I get this email and says, this drink has got 0.02% alcohol in it. Is that allowed or not? And there's a whole debate on that, on this forum or that forum, about whether that's halal. Well, just try to understand a little more and go to the Risala of Imam Zajr. Ask those who know more, okay, they're experts in the field. That's where you get your information from. A lot of the things that we prioritize and we spend time taking extra precaution are actually not things that Islam says you need to take precaution on. If a Muslim gives you meat, for example, just one example that a lot of people have trouble with, okay, this concept of meat and where you get it from, is it slaughtered Islamically or not? Some people spend all this time, oh, this place, there's doubt on it, I want to take extra precaution. Well, that's not an extra precaution that Islam tells you to take. That's not a priority that Islam has given you. Islam says this, look, if a Muslim gives you meat, if it's possible that it's halal, it's possible that it's halal, not that you're sure it's halal. If it's possible that it's halal, take it. And it's actually makruh to ask him and eat there. Why are we spending all this time doing all this research here and there? That's not the priority. Then when it comes to another priority that Islam has for us, we actually don't have that priority. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi, when he's talking about giving salams, he says, I don't give salams to young women. Speaking about the relationship between the opposite genders. Amir al-Mu'mineen at that level of piety says, I take precaution on that. I don't begin the salam. Why? Because if I say salam, she would have to reply. When I hear her voice, it may cause something in my heart that the reward for that salam is less than what comes into my heart. Well, this is a priority. In the West, we don't really care. Oh, chit-chat, everything, internet, email, everything is fine. When it comes to meat, oh, this, take precaution. Make sure this is halal. I'm not going to eat there. I'm not going to eat here. No, priorities should be based on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Not based on what hearsay gives us. If you want to learn, we got to learn that. That's a very important part of it as well. Where do we get this? Want to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where do we get that, our information from? It's important that we get it from the right sources, and inshallah we get to practice those priorities. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as sa'imeen, people who are fasting, in fact, which will, inshallah, help to accept these prayers, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts these prayers better. We ask Him to hasten the return of our Imam. Please, loud ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be the true Shia of Amir al-Mu'mineen. Enable to be on the list of the companions, the close companions of our 12th Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give long life and good health to all our maraja, all those who are helping the cause of Islam, and especially our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents, all those who have taught us the word in Islam, of their sins. اللهم صل على محمد اللهم قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات
اللهم